long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. They give us strength.
Well, welcome everyone to Sunday Morning with Robin Walter. God bless you today. Looking forward to this message. I look forward to every message. I will tell you that right now. I enjoy, not that enjoy, I guess that's kind of the word, but I feel fulfilled. I guess that's a better word in preaching. And, you know, I look back at all my years of practicing law and several law degrees and stuff like that. Yeah, it prepared me for law, it better have, or that was a lot of waste of time and money. But even more so, I think it has prepared me to preach. I really think so. After all, Paul was a lawyer, right? And the other lawyers in Scripture didn't fare so well, but Paul did. Let's start today, as we always start, with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, regardless of what's going on around us. We don't thank you for what's happening, but we praise you in spite of what's happening. Now, open my mouth with your words today and close my mouth if they are only my words. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A little bit of an introduction here as to how I go about this. This is about our 24th week of the Sunday morning programs. And I am not an expository teacher / preacher, whatever you want to call me. Most churches seem to be. I'm not knocking them for that. Your Baptists, your Calvary Chapels are frequently expository, meaning they'll take a book in the Bible and they'll move through that book. And there are times for that. I don't doubt that. I'm attending a church where the pastor is going through the book of Revelation. I get that. That's a little tougher one. But most of the time, in fact, virtually all the time, I am topical. And I have drawn my inspiration actually from the colonial preachers, the ones who were probably the most listened to at the time around the formation of our country. And they responded to situations, whether it was a lost crop, whether it was an Indian attack, or whether it was a disease, whether who knows what it was. They were searching the scriptures to determine if there was a biblical, if there was biblical direction, or whether they would have an insight biblically as to why they were experiencing what they were experiencing, and then what to do about it. They were very topical. It's not to say some of them weren't expository, that they didn't just sit down and march through the book of 1 Corinthians or what have you over some 10-week period. But I look at it and I see that Jesus, for the most part, was topical. He addressed people's problems and issues and questions that were most dear to them. He was expository at only one time. Maybe there are others, but I can only think of one time when the two men greet him on the road to Emmaus, and he expounds to them the scriptures, beginning with the law and the prophets, and comes up to the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah in his teaching. That was expository over a long period of time. That's what I would do. And I say that only as a preface to this next brief announcement. One of the things that I committed to doing in 2024, which I committed in 2023, was that I was going to cut back on my law practice and be available to speak itinerantly, frankly, anywhere. What we have done, I have decided that I need expenses covered, but absolutely, I don't need a fee. This is a ministry that I feel so compelled to get out the end times teaching and prepare the saints for what's ahead. And hopefully in the process, add some new saints, I might add, to the role, that this is now something that I am just totally committed to in 2024. And as long as it's, I don't know, as long as God would have me to do it. So I think that time is short. There's no time for delay. It's just time to get the message out, hit them up, move them out, rawhide, rawhide, as that old song went. And so if there is any thought that anybody listening here would at least like to explore that opportunity of coming and speaking wherever, I don't care if it's a church or someplace else, where there's a congregation of some sort of believers or non-believers, please let me know. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. Okay, enough of the intro. We got to get rolling here. Last couple weeks about preparation. And last week in particular was the kind of preparation in these last times, talking about listening, hearing, being prepared and ready to respond to what the Holy Spirit may be nudging you to do if you're not hearing anything in particular, or sometimes something a little stronger. As I shared the story about turning into that antique store, when I just sort of heard, turn left into this antique store. I mean, it wasn't audible, but man, it was real. And I shared why that was, and I think that it helped avoid a robbery and maybe a mugging in so doing. Well, and you can listen to that if you'd like to. You can go to rumble.com, type in Robin Walters Show, and you're going to get two programs in descending order. The one with my mug and a cowboy hat is the political show, the Robin Walters Show. The one with the Bible is Sunday morning. And the title will be there for those who have ears to hear. So, kind of where we left off at the end of the preparation, well, why would you want and need to be prepared? Well, you got to be prepared for what's coming. I mean, Jesus' extensive teaching on the end times, talking about don't be a foolish one of the five foolish virgins. Be one of the wise foolish virgins. Be prepared. Don't be deceived. Beware of false prophets. When you see this, do this. When you see that, do that. Well, why would you give somebody a warning if the warning didn't apply to those people and to us, because it's in Scripture? You give a warning because something of which you need to take heed seriously is ahead. And maybe just ahead. I mean, Jesus didn't say, well, you know what, a week from Thursday, look out. No, not, didn't do that. He wants us, what, watching and praying. Praying and watching. And to be ready. After all, if the bridge down the road was out, they wouldn't need a bridge out sign, would they? The bridge out sign is a warning. And the warning isn't 250 feet from the bridge that's out, because if you're going 65, you can't stop in 250 feet. The bridge out sign is far enough ahead that not only can you slow down, you can stop, you can turn around, you can prepare for what you need to do, which is in that particular case is an alternative route. And Scripture is really no different in that sense. And so we have all of these warnings that Jesus has given us, but it doesn't stop with Jesus. It's throughout Scripture. And I want to start today with just one, and it's from 1 Peter 4. I love the epistles. I love the Old Testament. I love the whole doggone thing. I really do. So I just keep reading it and reading it and reading it. But in 1 Peter 4, verse 10, he said, "Beloved." Okay, so who's he addressing? Christians, the brethren, the brothers and the sisters in the Lord. Beloved, this is not to the world. This is to the church. Are you part of the church? I mean, the body of Christ, the true broad meaning of the term? Well, if you are, take note. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange." Okay. Don't think that this is some weird deal coming upon you, like you've been picked out by God to suffer this thing. But he just says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Okay, so let me go back to the whole issue of warning. When there is a warning and it's given out by somebody publicly or broadly, as Jesus did in the scriptures, these are for all of us, then you know there is a broad application. If somebody came to you and said, I heard from the Lord, don't do this. Well, you know, you're going to have to test the spirits. I can't get into that one or test the spirit with it, which it is said, because every now and then that is the case. And it might just say, this is what's going to happen. Well, here's an example. When Paul was returning to Jerusalem to keep the feast of the Passover, I forgot the name of the prophet that came, and he bound himself with a cord and said, this is what's going to happen to you. And sometimes these are for real, sometimes they are not. Sometimes they're false prophets, sometimes they're real. Maybe they're not prophets at all. God's just given them an insight. That's a different situation than when there is a broad-based statement, as Peter is saying here, by the Holy Spirit, beloved, to the church. And if you don't think it's to the church, if you look at the beginning, the 1 Peter 1:1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. He's writing to a broad base of churches over a large geographical area, certainly large for that period of time. So he just doesn't want you to think that somehow you've been picked out by this, and that maybe the devil just has his eyes stuck on you to knock. This is what is going to happen when you really walk the walk and talk the talk, and as it's going to only be increasing. My goodness, I think it increases every week. I think the pressure this week is worse and is tougher than the week before. There's more and more that the forces of evil are arrayed against the body of Christ, because the devil is furious. He knows his time is short, and he is stepping it up. So Peter says here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And this is how, and the reason for this is that if something happens to you, and you happen to be a bit separated from your family or whatever, maybe you're on a business trip, who knows? It would be easy to think that you are being singled out for either a punishment or tribulation, judgment from God or something, because you don't know, because you're not seeing it happen to others. You're not in contact with others. Satan loves to isolate us, keep us from the brethren, because why? Where two or more are gathered together, there the Lord is in the midst of them. And that's church. You want to know what church is? It's where two or more are gathered together. And if he can think, if the devil can get you to think that you are being isolated, I mean, you are being targeted, there's a whole lot more damage he can do in the process of not trying to upend you as much as to just get you out of the way. What Satan loves more than anything else, is not necessarily that you get launched into deep, serious sin, that you kind of go AWOL for, but he wants you discouraged and given up. And I've lived long enough that I have experienced so many times that when people get upset at what I say, and they're allegedly a Christian, they are Christians who either don't have the stamina or spiritual fortitude to speak it themselves, and they justify their silence, they justify their biblical scriptural retirement by telling me that I'm wrong. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I've got to fit this message in.
Sunday Morning with Robin Walter is a listener-supported program. Our mission is to prepare the saints not to just survive, but thrive in the end times through preparation, warning, instruction, and encouragement. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Have a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by my Savior's side, just over in the glory land.
Well, thank you. You know what? I think I'm going to change the timing on that because I realize that solicitation, first one we've ever done, kind of came in a wrong spot. I'm still working with some things. We are a listener-supported program. We are expanding tremendously by whatever people are able to support us with. I've been on the air for 18 years. I've never, ever, ever, ever taken one dime from the radio broadcast and the giving. It all will go. To broadcast time and maybe occasional purchase of equipment as is necessary. 100%. I can assure you that. Okay. So, to not think it strange here that these fiery trials have come upon you, because if Satan can separate you from the body of Christ or simply make you feel like you are being separated, then he has got an angle to work on you, as opposed to what he might do when you're sitting there in a Bible study in your home and there's 8 or 10 people around you and you're all agreement in prayer. That's a tough place for him to break in, or certainly a lot tougher. But Peter goes on to say, but rejoice. In other words, when you come under the fiery trial, rejoice. Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, this is so contrarian. Contrarian is when you're doing something that everybody else isn't, or you aren't doing something when everybody else is. You invest contrarily. Everybody's buying gold, so you sell gold. People are all buying NVIDIA stock, and you're selling NVIDIA stock, or whatever. That's contrarian. Contrarian is the salmon swimming upstream almost alone to propagate when everything else is flowing downstream. But this is the way it works. You undergo the fiery trial, then you are to rejoice. My goodness, I should rejoice. I'm a partaker of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory shall be revealed, I will be glad also. Not with joy. Oh, yea, more than joy. It says exceeding joy. What we go through in this life is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. The tribulation that we go through during the tribulation is a pittance compared to the bounty of joy that sits on the other side. And I might add, reward that is commensurate with how well you stood up. How well did you, having done all to stand, did you really stand? Did you speak up? Now, this next thing is going to be a little hard to maybe bear, but it's in Scripture, so I just simply have to say it. I'm jumping to Hebrews chapter 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, but only a small portion of it. Because it says here in chapter 11, beginning with 36, speaking of the Old Testament saints. No, Jesus hadn't come yet. The Holy Spirit had not been given them. It was not an indwelling Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Spirit, but it wasn't an indwelling Spirit. They weren't saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They were still having to believe in the daily sacrifices and the blood of the animals, and yet that was a sign of that which was to come, and Moses in particular knew that there was a Redeemer like him, but greater than he, that was going to follow him. John the Baptist also knew that, and others, that they were believing on that which was to come. But they didn't enter into that promise of it having already happened, where they could then just be saved by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit and move in a different and in greater dimension of authority and power. But listen to what the Old Testament believers, and that they were, went through for the cause. Verse 36, it said, there were others that had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Okay, so in that verse, they're beaten and they're imprisoned. Verse 37, they were stoned. Hang on to this one. They were sawn asunder. They're Old Testament saints that were sawed in half. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And this is a great passage. Of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of these old saints. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, because they believed on that which was to come, they still had received not the promise, because Jesus hadn't come yet. This is what the Old Testament saints went through without Jesus having come yet. But it goes on to say, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the writer of the Hebrews here is saying that they couldn't be made perfect in the sense of being whole spiritually in the Old Testament, because if they were, then what? There would have not have been any need for Jesus. And the promise given to Abraham that in thee all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, which it goes on, and we have this teaching some other time when there's appropriate dealing with how the Gentiles would come into the fold and become part of the commonwealth of Israel, as it says in Scripture. Well, those things, they didn't get there in the Old Testament. But we, New Testament believers, there is not a basis for upon which to say, oh, we're spared that. It wasn't the Holy Spirit's absence, as far as indwelling, that caused the Old Testament saints to have to go through that. It was just part of the deal. I mean, were they ready to give it up? Well, they had to be, and they obtained a good report. They're no less in heaven than we will be. No fewer effect, who knows, maybe greater crowns, because you look at what a lot of Christians who now we have the blood of Jesus covering our sins. We don't have to go through all the ordinances which have been nailed to the cross. We are saved by faith through grace, saved by grace through faith. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, would you not think that we would be in a position to be able to undergo heat more serious, maybe even more serious pressure than they? Because what's dwelling within us should be able to help us withstand even greater pressure, greater heat, if you will. This is what Peter is talking about when he says that they're, you know, don't be too concerned. Don't think it's strange that this fiery trial, which is about to come upon you, concern of which is to try you. He's speaking prospectively to the saints. He's giving a warning. Be ready. Be prepared. Don't think that you're the only one. Don't think that you're the lone ranger or the lone stranger. There's others that are going to be doing or going through this, whether you're around them and see them or not. This is what happens because you're in the army now. Right? You're in a biblical army. You know, I ran into a guy the other day. He was a retired veteran. He was in the Marines. Recon guy. And, you know, it was interesting because he spent 20 years in. I was just in my 2 years and out. And I didn't have fun. I didn't like it. You know, there were no girls and there was not enough food. And sometimes one of those was before the other. I just didn't like it. But I did my duty. I was a good soldier. I was a very good soldier. I never gave anybody any flack. I did everything, and I tried to excel in what I did, whether it was physically, whether it was in shooting an M16, it didn't matter. But when I ran into this guy, and this has happened before, but I don't know why it came up, but something about military service. He said, "You a vet?" And I said, "Yeah." And you know what? It was the whole, not that the relationship was bad, but it just sort of stepped up one whole notch. And why? Because sort of when you are in the military, you're kind of always in the military. You don't retire as in, well, you may retire in a secular sense, but you don't. In the way that you think, that doesn't retire. You are a soldier through and through until the end. And this guy got out and he missed it and he re-upped and went back in. Went in the Army and went back in as a Marine. And that's the way it is in the Christian walk. You're in the Army now. And you know what? There's no getting out. And you shouldn't want to get out. The fact of the matter is, if you got out, you would likely or should want to do as this guy did, and that is to re-up. Now, I didn't. But I also was not a Christian. I was not saved. And actually, I behaved remarkably well for being not saved while I was in the Army. But the fact of the matter is, you should want to continue the service. You know what I'm going to wear? I'm going to wear this scriptural, biblical uniform to the day I die. You've heard me say, when I go, I want to go with my boots on. Well, you know what? I guess I also want to go with my biblical dog tags on. And you do too. You don't have to be or have been in the military to be in this military. You know, I was in this church about a month ago. And I will tell you, there are some hymns that I have a hard time dealing with. Not because I dislike the words. No, quite the contrary. I so love the words that I choke up. I'm not a quick man to tears, though I'm not one that goes to every possible length to fight them back. I was prepped by the song Onward Christian Soldiers for what was to come. And I really couldn't hold it together. I hadn't heard it in a long time, for starters. Second of all, I have always loved the song. But remind me, it's Onward. And if you have a generation before us that's gone home to be with the Lord, or those who maybe they're our generation or a generation behind us, guess what? When you're a soldier, do you quit and turn and run when the guy ahead of you gets shot? Is this the time to flee, to do AWOL, to desert? No. When they fall, and I'm speaking now figuratively here, metaphorically, meaning in this case, if they go, they're gone. They're not around. That's when the second line becomes the first line. Onward, Christian soldiers. And then after that, I was undone when they sang, Now I Belong to Jesus. Between those two, I was undone. You are a soldier. You belong to Jesus. You're never getting out. So just man up, woman up, cowgirl up, cowboy up. We'll see you next week. God bless you.